In commercial aquaculture research, the standard 3 replicate tank design is still widely used, and it routinely causes type 2 errors.
False negatives, right?
Exactly. Biological variance in fish is simply too high for that. If you only have 3 tanks per treatment, you just lack the statistical strength to prove that a lack of performance drop isn't just a total fluke.
Meaning, a novel ingredient gets falsely validated for commercial use simply because the trial was literally too weak to detect that it actually harmed growth.
Welcome to the Aquaculture Podcast Show, the first AI-based podcast in aquaculture, where you'll find cutting-edge insights in everything that's working in aquaculture, nutrition, health, and production. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Revenue grew, so did your hours. The owner's box, buy back 20 a week. Stop hiring for problems automation can solve. Start with Elevate Agents. Don't hire another VA stuck in 2015. Hire a remote AI specialist from Latin who runs AI tools, works in your time zone, and helps your team move faster. Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io. Zentrix Insights. The right person in the right seat starts with knowing how your team is actually wired. Visit ZentrixInsights.com. Zentrix OS, the business operating system built for teams who are serious about goals, tasks, and measurable results. One platform to run your entire operation.
Step onto the floor of any top-tier commercial extrusion plant, and you know the precision is just absolute.
Oh yeah, perfectly calibrated.
Right. I mean, every pressure valve and temperature gauge is dialed in to maximize feed efficiency for you, the producer. But then you walk into the research facilities running the in vivo feeding trials that supposedly dictate those commercial formulations. And, well, that precision frequently just evaporates.
It really does. We end up with this methodological landscape that is honestly just wasting massive resources on poorly structured trials.
Yeah. And that inefficiency is exactly what we are tackling today on the Aquaculture Podcast Show. Our mission for this deep dive is to help you maximize the investment of in vivo feeding trials.
Exactly.
We are breaking down Turchini and Hardy's 2025 study, Research in Aquaculture Nutrition, What Makes an Experimental Feeding Trial Successful.
Yeah.
And their core argument is pretty blunt. Our industry is trapped in this wasteful cycle of feed and see experiments.
Yeah.
Feed formulation software is stuck in the past. Most tools haven't evolved beyond basic least cost optimization. A DietForge changes that. It's an AI-powered platform with nonlinear ingredient modeling for enzymes and additives, cost per gain and maximum profit optimization, and real-time collaboration like Google Docs for nutrition. Every recommendation is grounded in world-class research, built for modern nutritionists who need more than legacy desktop software can deliver. Work seamlessly with your team and optimize the way modern operations demand. Try DietForge.ai free today. Feed formulation, finally modernized.
The trap really starts with blind substitution.
Right.
So a novel raw material is swapped in for fish meal or fish oil, and it's entirely justified by the phrase, well, it hasn't been done before.
Right. Just throwing things at the wall.
Exactly. There is no defined, null, or alternative hypothesis. It's just this assumption that, you know, throwing a new ingredient into a tank will automatically yield useful data.
I mean, it is essentially fishing with dynamite.
Yes.
You blow up the water, you run massive amounts of analytical tests on the back end, and you just hope a usable conclusion floats up. But let me challenge that for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
Today we have incredibly advanced gene expression tracking. I mean, can't that level of cellular data prove a functional ingredient's efficacy, even if the traditional hypothesis is, you know, a bit loose?
Short answer, no. It really cannot.
Really?
Yeah, because gene expression only gives you a snapshot of cellular signaling at one precise moment.
Oh, I see.
Right, it tells you a signal was sent, but it does not measure dynamic protein activity over the entire growth period. So if that foundational hypothesis is missing, you know, you cannot just use massive data sets to mask a poorly defined biological question.
Right, and because that foundational hypothesis is missing, researchers try to compensate by testing like a dozen variables at once.
Yeah, treatment bloat.
Exactly. So how does that bloat directly impact the statistical validity of the trial?
Well, it destroys your statistical power because, frankly, you run out of tank space.
Right.
In commercial aquaculture research, the standard 3 replicate tank design is still widely used, and it routinely causes type 2 errors.
False negatives, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Biological variance in fish is simply too high for that. If you only have 3 tanks per treatment, you just lack the statistical strength to prove that a lack of performance drop isn't just a total fluke.
Meaning, a novel ingredient gets falsely validated for commercial use simply because the trial was literally too weak to detect that it actually harmed growth.
Yes. The fix for that is to ruthlessly cut down the number of treatments to the absolute minimum needed to test one specific hypothesis.
Right. Keep it focused.
Yeah. And then use all those freed up tanks as extra replicates. That builds the statistical wall you actually need.
Makes sense.
But even then, I mean, the experimental diets themselves have to be strictly matched for digestible fat and energy. If they are not perfectly isolipidic and isoenergetic, any growth difference could just be a simple caloric imbalance.
Not the actual metabolic effect of the ingredient.
Exactly. And crucially, these diets must be practically extrudable on a commercial scale.
Right, which is huge for big ag.
Uh-huh.
But let's say a trial builds that perfect statistical power with extra tanks and, you know, they formulate flawlessly extrudable matched diets.
Right.
The fish themselves can still ruin the data the second they taste the new feed, right?
Oh, absolutely. The transition period is where so many trials just completely fall apart.
Yeah.
When you introduce a novel ingredient, fish often experience an initial drop in feed intake simply due to palatability.
They just do not like the taste.
Right. So if you feed them to apparent satiety, letting them eat until they are full, that temporary hesitation stunts their early growth.
Oh, wow.
And that weight gap persists through the entire trial. Then researchers mistakenly blame the nutritional quality of the ingredient.
Which is why Turchini and Harney emphasize pair-fed treatments.
Yeah.
Right? To isolate palatability from true metabolic efficiency.
Yes, exactly.
It is like pacing a marathon. You restrict the fastest eaters to the exact daily feed intake of the slowest group.
Right, forcing every tank to consume the exact same amount of feed.
So any difference in final weight is purely down to how the fish metabolized the ingredient, not how much they liked it.
Exactly. But that metabolic measurement is also entirely dependent on the trial duration. Turchini and Harney outline what they call the 300% rule.
The 300% rule.
Yeah. The fish must double their initial weight twice.
Why is that specific threshold so critical for the data?
Because of tissue turnover. If you are assessing changes in tissue composition, like fatty acid profiles, you need entirely new tissue to form.
Okay.
If the fish do not reach that 300% growth mark, the fatty acids you are analyzing are heavily skewed by the composition of the fish you started with. You know, you are basically just measuring a slightly diluted version of day one.
Right. So just to recap for everyone, the pillars of a truly successful in vivo trial are a rigid hypothesis, a streamlined design maximizing replicates, mm-hmm. diets that are perfectly matched and commercially extrudable.
Yes.
Plus pair feeding to eliminate palatability bias and pushing growth past that 300% threshold.
Hitting all those marks is literally the only way to generate robust data that actually drives large-scale commercial production forward.
Which leaves a pretty massive question hanging over the industry.
It does.
If standard commercial literature is littered with type 2 errors from underpowered triplicate-based trials, well, how many of our currently accepted commercial aquafeed formulations are actually built on falsely validated ingredients? Something for you all to think about.